We got to talk about some Notre Dame spring game recruiting, coaches on the road, Notre Dame maybe trying to flip a Florida commitment, and upcoming travels for Mike Singer and Kyle Kelly. That's what we are discussing on today's show. Hope everyone is doing well, whether you are watching us live, if you're watching a replay of the show, or if you're listening via podcast. Thank you very much for making us part of your day. I'm Mike Singer. And next to me here is Kyle Kelly. And we're talking some Notre Dame football recruiting here on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel. For folks watching on the tube, please hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to the channel for more content. If you're listening via podcast and you like our shows here at Blue and Gold, we would very much appreciate if you leave us a kind review. Michael says, Friday and recruiting with Mike and Kyle doesn't get any better than this. I appreciate that. We got Jay Meagers in the chat. Says, let's go. We got Lotus is in the chat. Kyle, how about that draft last night, man? What were your give me a couple takeaways on the day, because I got two main ones, and I'm sure ours might match.
Well, I'll save the obvious one for last. So my first one, I picked up some wind, if you want to call it, earlier in the day that if Joe Walt got to 7 to the Tennessee Titans, that he was not going to go fall any further in the draft. So I kind of had an idea that the Tennessee Titans might select Joe Walt. However, going into the day, Daniel Jeremiah and Peter Schrager, both NFL Network analysts, they both projected J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle to Alabama at number 5, where the Los Angeles Chargers were picking. And I was like, this is just your classic old smokescreen on draft day. Like, I have a feeling that the Chargers are going to take Joe Walt. That's exactly what they did. And I think that is probably one of the best picks in the NFL draft. Just when you look at how great of a college career Joe Walt has and how well he projects in the NFL. I will say I was listening to another podcast this morning. And I think Todd McShay was the one that said Joe Walt was used. Todd McShay was talking to an NFL GM, and they said that Joe Walt is one of the 4 safest picks in this year's NFL draft. So that's a heck of a pickup for the Chargers. I know this is a Notre Dame football recruiting show, so I couldn't help but talk about your boy Joe Walt, president of the Joe Walt Fan Club, heading out to Hollywood to go pass protect for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, look at this absolute unit. I mean, what a dude. Compare that to I do love doing this. So you got there's Joe Walt on the screen, and then this was also Joe Walt. I mean, this is the same person, and this is like 5 years ago. How does this go to this in a matter of like again 4 or 5 years? It's pretty wild. But for me, a couple things. I've been getting a lot of praise, and my response to the praise on the Joe Walt thing is that a broken clock is right twice a day. I never went out there and said Joe Walt's going to be the number one offensive tackle taken after 3 years at Notre Dame. Heck no, I didn't say that. I didn't think he was going to be this good. I just thought he was going to be – when Notre Dame offered the kid – Irish fans are just poo-pooing on him so freaking much. This is O-line you. Why are we taking a 3-star with Minnesota and Iowa offers? We're better than this. And I'm just like, guys, you're nuts. He's so much better than you guys think. But I'll take it. This was the biggest takeaway for me, the Atlanta thing. You have Kirk Cousins on a 4-year deal, and you get Michael Penix. Two, three years from now, I feel like there's no chance they're both going to be on the roster. So maybe Atlanta just knows what they're doing, and you just need one. You just need one of those two to strike gold. And wild to me, but Kirk is making a lot of money. But like Kyle said, it's a recruiting show, so we're going to move on. Talk some Notre Dame recruiting. So we have not had our recruiting show since the Blue Gold game. So I wanted to discuss. A half dozen visitors, Kyle. And I will start with a few that I want to discuss. Deuce Knight from Lucedale, Mississippi, George County. 6'4 and a half, 200 pounds, top 100 prospect. Of course, been committed to Notre Dame since 5 days before the Ohio State game. Last year, committed to Notre Dame on a Monday afternoon. No top schools, you know, top four in a commitment date, just kind of came out of nowhere. That was a pretty memorable one. And I don't think Deuce has done any, not that I've seen, Kyle, you can correct me. I don't think he's done any interviews regarding his Blue Gold game visits. I will be seeing him in a few weeks at an event in Nashville. But I'll certainly talk about it then. But this was his eighth visit to Notre Dame and his third this calendar year. And Deuce, like every time I talk to sources, so again, I haven't talked to Deuce about the trip, but and talking to sources with knowledge of the visit, like the feeling just keeps getting stronger and stronger that there's just no way he's leaving Notre Dame. With every time he comes up to campus, you know, folks in South Bend just feel like even if he like wanted to leave, he couldn't, because he like the connections that he has of the commits are so extremely strong. Coaches come and go. Players do too, but like if you're a starter at Notre Dame, you're probably not going anywhere. And he is, you know, he's completely locked in with this Fighting Irish commitment, from what I am told. So yeah, Ole Miss, Bama, I think that's really died down. Which when there was a lot of talk about Bama, you know, in February or so, look, I told you guys, I was like, just, he's going to go visit in the spring a couple times. He'll take his official in June. This is going to die down. And this is that, and that's what happened. So I don't expect him to take any other trips. You know, I don't know if the fat ladies started warming up her vocals, but feeling really good about Deuce Knight. And his Notre Dame commitment. Davion Dixon from Miami Palmetto, someone we don't talk about a ton, committed to Notre Dame a year ago for the Blue Gold game, comes back on the anniversary of his commitment, or I believe it was the day before the Blue Gold game, but regardless, comes back, and I talked to him. I haven't caught up with him in a while, and I was just like, hey, like, do you still talk to other schools? Like, you know, Ohio State offered him after he committed to Notre Dame, Georgia, a bunch of others. And he told me that after he visited Notre Dame in January for that junior day, that he decided to shut things down after that. So that's Davion Dixon, who's 6'3", 305 pounds. You want to hear something really funny, Kyle? I haven't told you this. So Davion Dixon is great with texting us back, right, Kyle? Like, he's very responsive. For whatever reason, he hasn't responded to me over text in like 6 months. And I was like, what the heck? What happened? So then I DM'd him to try to reach out to him about an interview, because I wanted to catch up with him. And he responds within 2 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I guess I just reach out to him over DM instead of text message. And he's very responsive. So we set up a time to do an interview, and I call him. And I say, hey, Davion, it's you know, it's Mike Singers. Now it's still a good time to talk. And he was like, sure. I was like, okay. I mean, you told me to call it this time. So I started interviewing, like, hey, you know, how was the visit? And he was like, this is Davion Goss. I play at North Carolina. And I'm like, I saved the freaking wrong kid's number. So I have been texting a North Carolina running back for 6 months straight, thinking it was Davion Dixon. I just saved the wrong number. I don't know how I did that. But I'm not very bright, apparently. So a lot of things made sense after that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's a little bit more of that story, but just the Mike Singer stupidity there. Because at one point, the kid did text me back, and he's like, no, I'm not really talking to Notre Dame. And I'm like, bro, you're committed to Notre Dame. Like, what the heck does that mean? Yeah, it's no crap. He's not talking to Notre Dame Singer. He had already signed with North Carolina at that point. So there you go, folks. So that's my story on Davion Dixon. So for a while there, I had no idea what the heck was going on, and makes sense now. And I do have the correct number. I did talk to him. And I'll do that story of Blue and Gold soon. Move along. Javon Boggs. I talked to him. Steve Wolfong did, you know, spoke to some sources here. The feeling is pretty good coming off of his first Notre Dame visit, Kyle. There's a sense that he's going to set up an official visit with Notre Dame. It's interesting. Notre Dame's only doing two official visit weekends that we know about, June 7th and June 14th. Could they do the May 31st weekend? Maybe. We haven't heard of anything set up. Could they do that last weekend of June? Maybe. Nothing's really set up right now. They might do that for like some last minute officials. But right now it's June 7th, which is mainly defensive guys, June 14th, mainly offensive guys. Boggs has an official schedule with Georgia for that June 14th weekend. If Notre Dame could get him to move that Georgia visit and add Notre Dame instead, that would be huge. But he might do like a midweek official to Notre Dame, you know, something like that. So we'll see with Javon Boggs, four-star receiver, former Ohio State commitment, Georgia, UCF, Florida, Notre Dame, I think like USC, Missouri, top six schools. Notre Dame is very much in the mix. Great trip. Went up with his family. Good time. So Notre Dame is very much a contender here. I can't really say like a favorite or anything at this point. I got one more, and I'm going to throw it over to Kyle for a couple. And Kyle will be able to chime in on this young man, Elijah Golden. He's from Virginia, currently plays at IMG Academy, four-star according to the On3 industry ranking. 24/7 just came out. He's our number 18 overall player, number 2 defensive lineman. He is someone that we, Kyle and I probably agree on. We think Notre Dame leads here. And Notre Dame sources are pretty optimistic about this one. So listed at 6'4.5", 246. I believe he's up to 260. Kyle, do you have anything you wanted to add on Elijah Golden?
Yeah, pretty interesting recruitment for a kid that comes from the DMV area and transferred down to IMG Academy in Florida. The sense I'm kind of getting here early is that Elijah Golden is the only school he's kind of really considering from the South right now is Florida, because a lot of his attention or the schools that he's interested in are in the Midwest. There's three schools that I'm keeping an eye on here. It's Ohio State, Michigan, and Notre Dame. And I think the reason that Notre Dame can kind of say it's in the very, very, very early pole position for Golden, because they're the only one that has offered so far, I believe. So this is going to be a very interesting recruitment to follow, because Golden obviously loves Notre Dame, or I don't know if I can say he loves it yet, but he likes Notre Dame a lot. He made the trip up during the summer to go camp. Obviously, Notre Dame is high on his list for him to come back up here in April. So it's just a matter of, you know, kind of seeing what other schools get involved and how strong of a contender Notre Dame can stay for him.
And Kyle, Sincere Johnson from Cleveland, top 100 prospect. You could probably include what I wrote in him in your little spiel, Kyle, on the gold standard, because, yeah, Notre Dame looks to be in a good spot.
Yeah, they do now. But as I've reiterated on this show so many times, that Ohio State's going to be the one to watch here once they offer. I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that they do. And I asked Sincere right after his Notre Dame visit, I said, is it a matter of the longer that Ohio State offers, the more Notre Dame has a chance to build a lead in your recruitment? Because Notre Dame is the team to beat right now because he doesn't have the Ohio State offer. And something he said that stood out to me was he basically said, it really doesn't matter because I'm only a sophomore. I've got a long way to go. So I don't think he is sweating not getting an Ohio State offer. He's got so much time to go. But I'm not surprised that Notre Dame's feeling pretty confident right now, because they made a pretty strong impression here in this recruitment. Sincere brought one of his assistant coaches with them to campus on Saturday. And I don't think Notre Dame could ever have said in the past with any of these guys that come out of Cleveland Glenville, like Ted Ginn Jr. is a big one from there. There's more recent ones like Bryce West that Notre Dame offered. I don't think Notre Dame could ever say they were in the mix for one of those recruits. And now they can say for Sincere Johnson that they're firmly going to be in contention for the long haul.
Yep. an agreement there. Another linebacker, Markell Dabney, from Chester, Virginia. I believe that's Richmond. He had very high praises of his Notre Dame visit to you. My sources believe that Notre Dame is going to be a huge contender for the long haul here. Just think the staff's going to want to keep, you know, see him in person, whether that's a game or spring eval period. Dabney loved his trip to Notre Dame for the spring game.
Yeah, told me that during his 3 or 4 day visit, he actually considered committing to Notre Dame. Which I don't think, like, I feel like some people might read that and like, man, we were close to getting this kid. But I feel like it's more so of, hey, I've been here for 4 days. Like,
was it Riaz 4 days?
Yeah, just he was there for a while. So just kind of like natural, like, man, do I just call this place my home? But no, he's being patient with his process. A lot of ACC, Mid-Atlantic, Power 5 programs involved in his recruitment right now. Actually, Pittsburgh has been recruiting him since he was an eighth grader. That's when they offered him, at least. I don't know how much they recruited him since he was in eighth grade, but he's been on the radar of college football programs for a while. He was on Notre Dame's radar back in the summer. He came up in camps, loved it. The reason he wanted to take this four-day visit to Notre Dame last week because he loved it so much the last time around that he just wanted to see so much more. So if Notre Dame pushes here, I think that it's going to be hard for them to be a team to beat. But as is the case with so many of these 2026 recruits, I think Notre Dame is kind of being patient, rightfully so, with the guys that they zero in on like kind of their top targets, so to speak. It's because they're just high school sophomores, man. I mean, I'm talking about 15-year-olds, some 16-year-olds, heck, some of these guys might be 14 years old even. So Notre Dame rightfully being patient in the process, but I think Dabney is definitely the name we can say we're going to be monitoring moving forward.
Okay. So that's kind of our recap of just that was six guys who visited for the Blue Gold game. There were obviously others, but that's who we're going with just for that little segment there. So we're coming to that point of the Notre Dame recruiting update here on our Blue and Gold YouTube channel where I got to ask you guys just a few questions. Are you a displaced corporate executive? Maybe you're wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? If you're answering yes to any of these questions, Andy Ludicky is the guy you're going to want to talk to help you out. Andy's a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using Andy's expertise, he's going to help you find your American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Give Andy a call. It's 404-973-9901, and put your life and career in your own hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you, so what do you have to lose? Give Andy a call, 404-973-9901, and find your perfect franchise over at myperfectfranchise.net. Thank you to our sponsor of today's show, Andy Ludicky and My Perfect Franchise. So I wanted to move next into coaches on the road. A few coaches hit the roads Friday. Most of them were out. Excuse me. Rewind. Few of them hit the road Wednesday. You had most of them Thursday, and then all of them I was just looking at my phone. Third time's a charm. Few Wednesday, most of them Thursday. I think maybe all. And then a few today on Friday. It's kind of a little bit of a hodgepodge. The head coach cannot go on the road during the spring eval period. So that's where you'll see, this is what, Freeman's third spring as Notre Dame's head coach, I think. Yeah. I always say things and look over to see if Kyle's going to nod at me or not, because Kyle knows everything. So this is the May is when Freeman does what I call like his speaking tour of America, where he'll go to this Notre Dame club, or you'll see him at an Orioles game or a Yankees game. You'll see him at on the draft. Like, Freeman just kind of like the most interesting man in the world in the month of May. Where the heck in the world is Marcus Freeman today? Like, that's kind of his spring. But you get 10 assistant coaches. Sometimes like a Chad Bowden will fill in. One of the coaches won't hit the road. like a Chad will fill in. So it can be a little mix and match. But you know, it'll really pick up this upcoming week where it'll be like a daily thing. And then the spring eval period goes to the end of May. I don't know if you remember this, Kyle. I don't think they go for the entire month of May. I think the period is that 6 weeks, mid-April to the end of May, but I don't think they only have so many days to be on the road. They just have that window. Does that sound right at all to you, Kyle? Yeah, you're on mute, buddy.
Sorry, I can bring up the recruiting calendar right now, but I know that in the spring evaluation period, they get 180 days to be out on the road between 10 coaches, which I think that's basically the staff on the road for a full 10 days, full 18 days. So I don't know.
So is that like 180 visits, like specific visits you're saying?
That's something I do need to clarify, but it's either visits or days. So probably bad information there, but in terms of the recruiting calendar, Notre Dame coaches can go see kids at their high school up until March 25th, I believe.
No.
That's when the contact period ends. That's what the recruiting calendar says, but it could certainly be different.
The thing about the recruiting calendar is that there's so many clauses in there. But no, I mean, if it was a contact period until next March, then that's 11 months straight of a contact period.
To May 26th.
May 26th. Sarah, you said March. Yeah, May. Yeah. So it's mid-April to the end of May.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but anywho, we're kind of getting on stuff that most of you guys don't care about. Kyle and I are just recruiting junkies. But anyways, we'll go through a few of these kind of interesting visits. Derek Meadows, we're told Mike Brown went out there Thursday, and we'll touch on another one of his visits next as he's on the West Coast. Meadows is a huge target for Notre Dame. There's so much more buzz right now about like Alabama and Georgia and, you know, Michigan and like Tennessee might be taking a trip to South Carolina. I can't even remember. Some of these recruits getting mixed up. I see Kyle nodding, so I think I'm on the right track. I just think he's going to officially visit Notre Dame in June. And I like where I think the Irish have a really good shot here. I think that like fit wise, he likes Notre Dame the best. Like when Alabama and Georgia come calling, like you look at it, there's a lot of awe factor there. But I'm still most intrigued with Notre Dame when it comes to Derek Meadows. He had a really good visit to Notre Dame earlier this spring. That's pretty much like, unless he cancels that Notre Dame visit, I'm going to continue to still feel like that Notre Dame is the leader in Derek Meadows' recruitment. So again, Mike Brown went out there, and there was a change in the contact period to where like the spring evaluation period and when coaches can hit the road and in December, winter, when they're just like stopping by the schools, the coaches can have in-depth conversations with juniors. Now, if you're a sophomore or a freshman, that's not the case. That bump rule is still in effect. But like when a Mike Brown goes out to Bishop Gorman in Vegas, he's allowed to sit down with Meadows and have that full on conversation. What are you smiling about?
No, I was just, kind of agreeing with you. It's the rules are so silly though, because I can assure you 99% of college coaches aren't just bumping into the sophomore guys. But yeah, I love the rule that they kind of clarified it for the juniors and kind of opens it up more, because one thing that we didn't see in the past is parents actually being on the high school campuses when coaches came by. And I know that was a huge emphasis when Notre Dame was out on the road in January. It seemed like every top target they saw, their family was also there. I mean, that's what happened with Talon Taylor's recruitment. I'm pretty sure his mom was there with Talon. And, you know, Mike Brown came and saw him on like one of the last days they were out on the road. And next day, Talon Taylor ended up on Notre Dame's campus. So yeah. I do like, for once, something the NCAA did.
Yeah, I like that too. I remember getting that picture of you got Jerome Bettis Jr. and his dad and his mom with a few Notre Dame coaches. That was definitely pretty cool. But otherwise, yeah, it sort of seems that they're just doing what they were already doing, but it's now legal for the juniors, you know, like it, but it, what, still notable. And then today, it's our understanding that Mike Brown, Notre Dame's new receivers coach, went out to Santa Margarita Catholic in Southern California to see Trent Mosley. In the 2024 class, Notre Dame did not sign Emmett Mosley, a double Notre Dame legacy. Of course, his father played on the football team for the Irish, and his mother was a badass for the women's soccer team. Like, she was fantastic. I believe she won like the women's soccer equivalent to the Heisman. Like, she was fantastic. Yeah. So Trent Mosley, Notre Dame offered him close to 2 years ago. I believe that would have put him going into his freshman year of high school. And Notre Dame's still, you know, in the mix here. Older brother went to Stanford, and we'll see if Trent Mosley, you know, is liking Notre Dame more. There are many things that trigger me when it comes to recruiting, and you know, especially how reporters can kind of handle things. The one thing that I haven't really talked about in a while is the whole reporter being like, well, Notre Dame didn't want him anyway. Like, sometimes that's true, but like, I feel like I saw that with Mosley. People were like, oh, Notre Dame backed off Emmett Mosley. Notre Dame wanted Emmett Mosley. Emmett Mosley backed off of Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame was like, oh, well, you don't, you know, and then they backed off. But Emmett Mosley was a top-tier target for Notre Dame for quite a while, so I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, they're very much now recruiting. Trent Mosley, he was Pot of Gold kid. So even though Notre Dame had offered, still got in contact with him on Pot of Gold Day, you know, showing him some love. So yeah, Mike Brown at his school Friday. And then here's another interesting one, Kyle. And I believe this one is today as well. Joe Rudolph up at Davidson, Michigan for Ben Nichols, a four-star offensive lineman in the 2026 class.
Yeah, a guy from the Kalamazoo area that ironically is kind of, his recruitment stalled a little bit, if you can say that, as a sophomore. But he's like made a bunch of visits to some of these Big Ten programs. Like, I know Michigan, he's been to a bunch, and like Michigan hasn't offered him yet. But Notre Dame, Michigan State, and a few others have. And I think that this is recruitment that is going to be a nice old-fashioned Midwest battle for a Midwestern offensive lineman. And coming out of Ben Nichols' Notre Dame visit, I think you and I both felt that Notre Dame was the team to beat. It's going to be interesting once Michigan ends up getting involved. But how about the approach that Joe Rudolph is taking here in 2026 offensive line recruiting, where they got their three offensive tackles in the 2025 cycle? Of course, only two of those guys will end up playing at the same time. Maybe, you know, one finds their way in after one ends up in the NFL or something like that. But either way, you know, Joe Rudolph really tackled, or I guess you could say Joe Rudolph tackled the offensive tackle position in the 25 cycle. Now he's really targeting a lot of these interior offensive linemen. Some of the best in the class are luckily right in Notre Dame's backyard. So not surprised that Joe Rudolph's getting up there pretty early to see Ben Nichols. I know that's a favorite prospect of our buddy Tim Hyde. And I'll be seeing Nichols on Sunday. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about our travels here later on, but that's a guy I'm excited to see compete.
Yeah, we will get into that shortly. So Notre Dame in the 25 class doesn't have many spots left. You know, a couple more defensive backs. One to two more linebackers, one to two more receivers, and then kind of the, like, I don't know, X factor or notable variable, whatever you want to call it, is interior offensive line recruiting and interior defensive line recruiting. We're going to talk about some defensive linemen here in a second, but Notre Dame seems to be very interested in adding a fourth offensive lineman in the class. And if it does, I think it might be an interior guy. You know, they didn't end up getting Jack Lang. Different, you know, it's kind of a different discussion for a different day. He picked Missouri. Josh Petty, the five-star from Georgia, he seems to be trending more towards an interior player. And then there's a couple who it's our understanding that Joe Rudolph visited. Would that have been yesterday, Kyle? Or is it, this was Thursday for Cameron Gorin and Cameron Herron?
Yep, that's where Joe Rudolph was for heading out to hang out with Joe Walt.
Yeah, love this. So Hamilton Southeastern, Fishers, Indiana. This is a Cameron Gorin, 6'5", 265-pound interior offensive lineman. So this is someone who Notre Dame is evaluating, like Ashton Craig, what was he, 2022 class? Notre Dame went after him a little bit later, his junior year. Joe Otting a couple years ago got him up to the lineman's challenge going in his senior year, got him committed. Like Notre Dame goes after a lot of guys early on the offensive line, across the offensive line, but sometimes there's some of these later offers and adds. So Cameron Gorin is one that Notre Dame is looking at. And then someone who I know the staff really likes, just from, you know, hearing about this guy for a while, is Cameron Herron from Indianapolis Warren Central. He's a three-star guy, Iowa, West Virginia, Louisville, Northwestern, some of his offers. I know he's going to be up on campus for the Irish Invasion camp. So he'll get to work out for Rudolph and the staff. And we'll see if they offer. I don't think they would have an issue just sticking with the three. They're not going to take a fourth just for the sake of doing so. But Herron is someone who the staff likes. And I believe this one was Wednesday, Kyle. Mike Denbrock and Mike Brown stopping over at Talon Taylor's High School. I feel like I've been saying the same thing about Taylor's recruitment for quite some time. I think Notre Dame's running second or third. It's a close race. Notre Dame's still very much in contention here. They're doing all they can. They're pulling out all the stops. But Georgia seems to be the favorites for this top 100 talent from Geneva community.
Yeah, really competitive recruitment, as has been the case for probably the last 6 months or so. Notre Dame, Oregon, and Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan, and Georgia, the four teams to watch here. I think Georgia, Ohio State, and Notre Dame are the three I'm really paying attention to for Talon Taylor. Another guy I'll be seeing this weekend, looking forward to catching up with him, kind of seeing what his official visits plans are. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up back at Notre Dame, back in Athens, and back in Columbus. And, you know, I mentioned on the show so many times before, but, you know, this recruitment will become pretty interesting if Brian Hartline does indeed turn up the heat on Talon Taylor, because I feel like Georgia and Notre Dame have kind of been the battle as of late, with Ohio State really hanging around there. So if Hartline turns up the heat, this thing could get even more competitive with Notre Dame. But I'm going to be honest. I think Notre Dame is more in it for Talon Taylor right now than I would have expected kind of coming out of the winter. So a very encouraging sign for Notre Dame. Great progress in this recruitment. Now we got to see if they can pull off getting another elite wide receiver out of Chicago.
And then one more I'm going to talk about. This is just fascinating to me. So you had Dylan McCullough out recruiting in Kansas City. He always makes a trip out there so he can, you know, stop by and see Andy Reid and some of his old coworkers and players at the Chiefs. But he did stop in at Raymore Peculiar for class of 2026 running back DeSephon Walker, number 59 overall player, number 8 running back in the country. This kid is an absolute stud. I don't know if Notre Dame has any shot here, but they have seen some highly ranked, impressive prospects this week out on the road, and DeSephon Walker is one of them. So again, Dylan McCullough went out there this week.
Yeah, I talked to Walker a couple weeks ago just to kind of get a vibe on his recruitment. He was thinking about getting up to Notre Dame for a game day last year. It never really happened. But, Notre Dame's kind of in the mix here. I think Walker's looking at a lot of SEC schools right now. He went to go see Tennessee a couple weekends ago. I think he was recently at Iowa. His recruitment's pretty fascinating because he's like taking all these visits within like a 400-mile radius, like Arkansas and Missouri. He's been to a lot, and Notre Dame's actually much further from Raymore Praquilio than what I remember, even though I was down in that area last spring. But I remember him kind of mentioning that it is kind of a far trip for him to take, so he's going to be have to be diligent once he does possibly make it up to South Bend. So, you know, I think the reason for Dylan McCullough heading down there to Missouri earlier this week is kind of find out where they stand in the mix with a lot of those SEC schools, seeing if hopefully build some rapport with Walker and see if Notre Dame can find themselves in position to land him on campus for a visit.
There's one other guy I just wanted to mention briefly. Gino Cadulli was recruiting in Chicago, and it's my understanding that he made it over to the high school of Jonas Williams. Is he at Lincoln Way East? I thought he was at Bolingbrook. Did he transfer?
Looks like
he did transfer. Okay. There it is right on his profile. Yeah. Okay. So he's at Lincoln Way East. Four-star passer from Chicagoland, 6'1.5", 200 pounds, 146 overall player, number 14 quarterback. Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue, Iowa. Pretty long list of scholarship offers. You got Oregon, LSU, Oklahoma. Notre Dame has not offered Williams yet. If they need to expand the board, this would be the guy that I'm looking at for them to do so with. So we'll see. Kyle, I'm sure you have a thought here.
Yeah, I checked in with Jonas Williams a couple weeks ago, and he's very, very open in his recruitment. So although that Notre Dame hasn't offered yet, even if it does take a couple months to get in the mix in his recruitment, I don't think that's going to be a really big deal. Obviously, as we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, is, you know, the two guys to know right now are both from Florida, Brady Hart, Noah Grubbs. Troy Hune from California is another name. Ryder Lyons from California is another name. But, you know, depending on how those recruitments all shake out, Notre Dame could possibly get involved in Jonas Williams' recruitment. And even if it is a little bit later than some of those other guys, I don't think it's going to be too big of a deal.
All right. And then as we put in the title of today's show, Irish working on SEC flip. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Chad Bowden, Notre Dame's director of player personnel. Was look, whenever he's out on the road, things he has things cooking, you know, just trying to work on some. There were some travels that I was told he made last year that were like down the stretch, that some crazy flips that I don't think ever got reported. Like, that's this guy, like he's going on the road to make things happen. So I mentioned this a little bit ago. Notre Dame interior offensive line, trying to make things happen. They're looking at some guys, and on the interior defensive line, they are doing the same. Jeremiah McLeod, Bowden was at this young man's school, Gadsden County in Havana, Florida, number 460 overall player, number 39 defensive lineman, considered a Florida lean, a former Mississippi State commitments. Bowden was at his high school, and then Jalen Wiggins, 6'5", 235 pounds, top 100 prospect as the number 92 recruit nationally, number 7 defensive lineman, according to the On3 Industry ranking, a Florida Gators commitment. Now, I don't know if I would go out and say Notre Dame's pushing hard for these two guys. They haven't even offered. Like, these two kids haven't even offered. Announce an offer from the Fighting Irish. Yeah, like, pump the brakes a little bit. But I would say that they're starting to, like, see how interested they are, like, kind of laying the groundwork. I did hear about Wiggins that he is a Notre Dame type kid. I believe he's looking at Stanford. I don't really know if that's out there, but I'm also told that Stanford is in the mix there. So, that's what I had heard yesterday about those two guys. And then I was out and about, called Kyle, and I said, hey, here's the story. Can you write this? And he did. So I'm sure he did a little bit more background information. So what can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much both these guys right in the heart of SEC country. And I think both recruitments are SEC battles. I know when Walker, Florida State's involved, they were a finalist toward the end there. I think Georgia was a finalist as well. But, I think it's Walker's last name. I'm drawing a blank now. The Florida commit.
Jalen Wiggins.
Wiggins. My apologies. We were talking about Walker, the running back from Missouri area earlier. So, yes, Wiggins, Florida commit, SEC battle building, even though he is committed to the Gators. But as you mentioned, Stanford is in play here. They do have an official visit set with him. He's also planning an official visit Florida State as well. And, of course, Florida, the team he's verbally committed to. So no surprise that Notre Dame, I'm sure they caught wind that Wiggins was interested in Stanford. And they're like, huh, this kid from Florida is interested in Stanford, coming all the way out to Palo Alto, play for a high academic school. Why not come check out South Bend? So I'm sure that's Notre Dame's pitch there. And similarly with McLeod, former Mississippi State commit, Auburn's involved there, LSU, and a couple other SEC schools that Notre Dame's going to be battling. So both very interesting developments on the recruiting trail. But like you said, like, I think it's happening a little bit earlier for Notre Dame than what it has in past cycles, where I don't know if it's Chad Bowden. I'm assuming he's probably the one at the forefront of this, as you mentioned. But either way, they get this list of, I don't know, 5, 10, dozen, maybe even 25 guys that are, you know, probably long shots at best to come to Notre Dame, but they take their swings at them. And I think they're building that list out right now. And obviously, they're stepping up to the plate for a few of them.
And then as far as defensive line recruiting goes in general, you have Chris Burgess, you know, might be a developmental prospect, but a really talented defensive end. You got Davion Dixon, nose tackle all the way, no doubt about it. And then Joe Reef, a little bit of a hybrid, bigger body, you know, probably three tech at the end of the day. So you got two interior guys and then one defensive end. So, Kyle, you know, I'm guessing that your take is kind of, well, if they're going to take a fourth, why not take a defensive end? I was just going through some of my notes, and the feeling is that Notre Dame feels fantastic. They think their defensive end, like Vipers' position, is in a superb spot with Bryce Young. And we're talking about for next, not this upcoming season, the year after, with Bryce Young, with Boubacar Traore. You know, Logan Thomas, I think, is even more of a developmental guy than Burgess, maybe just because he's so thin. But you have Logan Thomas, you know, and I think a lot of people forget about, you know, like a Burnham and a Tua Halamaka. So there's a good bit of defensive ends on the board, you know, or I should say on the roster. And maybe they go and take like another transfer defensive end, you know, like they've been doing here recently. So what is your take? Do you disagree with this?
I think that's the reason you set it up that way, because, you know, I do disagree with this. I think if there is a position where Notre Dame needs to step it up on the recruiting trail, I think it is the Viper position. That weak side defensive end, I think they did an incredibly great job last cycle landing Logan Thomas. But as you mentioned, he's probably a year or two away from actually competing in college just because he is so thin. He probably needs to add realistically at least 25, 30 pounds before he's ready to go. But I will say, once Logan Thomas does add that weight, I think he's going to be a real impact player at Notre Dame. There were some, call it whispers among the coaching staff, that some real resemblance to Keon Keeley, the former Notre Dame commit who was a 5-star plus signee to Alabama. But I am a little bit concerned about Viper recruiting in 2025, because, I mean, we don't really know of a plan as of now. I'm sure Notre Dame is intentionally keeping that a little bit close to the vest. Who knows what type of plans they have in the works. I know we heard in the past that Dominic Kulak, the linebacker commit out of Chicago, could possibly be a Viper candidate. Of course, we found out closer to when he committed to Notre Dame that he's actually a candidate to play the money position, which is Maris Liefau's position from last year. But Liefau did play pretty close to the line of scrimmage at times. I wouldn't say he lined up as a Viper, but he was more involved in a defensive end type pass rush position, especially on pass plays. So I'm very curious to see where the they end up in Viper recruiting, or if they end up choosing to expand the board, because I think when it comes right down to it, edge rusher is probably a top five, I would even argue top three position on the football field. If you want to win football games on defense, you got to get after the quarterback. That's exactly what those weak side defensive ends are brought in to do. So I know Notre Dame's got some good guys on the roster right now, but I know you were mentioning a guy like Bryce Young. I think I see him as a strong side defensive end. Josh Burnham, he's already kind of made the transition to strong side defensive end. Logan Thomas, like, that's a project there. So that's why I think they really do need to find someone in the 25 cycle that can play that position.
But he wouldn't do that in 2025. So, like, taking another guy.
They need a guy for the future at Viper. Right now they don't have that.
I mean, I think they kind of do with Logan Thomas and like a Chris Burgess. My bigger thing would be taking a transfer again. I don't know. I also don't think I've thought about it as much as you have, but I know that you're very passionate about it. I'm not as much, but I think Tuli Halamaka's playing Viper, right?
Yeah, but Junior's only got two or three more years left, and
that's a long damn time.
Yeah, but I don't think we can say Junior was a real impact guy. And by the time that Junior, you know, he does leave, that's when that your 2025 guy would be ready to play. Just because you have like a few guys that can play that position on the roster doesn't mean that you can just forget about the position. I mean, should Notre Dame forget about Deuce Knight because they have probably the best quarterback room in the country right now? Heck no. I see it the same way at edge rusher.
All right. I just heard my front door open, and I've got some personal stuff to get to. So we're just going to wrap up really quickly with Kyle. I'm giving you 30 seconds. Where you're going to be on the road, tell us about what you're doing this weekend.
I'll be in Canton, Ohio at the Under Armour camp. Nine guys with Notre Dame offers will be there, including Owen Schriebig and Christopher Burgess. You can check out my preview of that camp on Blue and Gold, and I'll have a lot of post-game or post-camp reporting to come afterward.
And next weekend, I am driving down to Central Florida, hoping to see both Brady Hart and Noah Grubbs. That trip is still in flux. I don't know what I'm going to end up doing because I'm just not getting things keep kind of changing. And then heading over to Tampa to stay with family out there. And then going to see like Dallas Golden, Justin Thurman, DJ Williams is a 2026 target for Notre Dame. So see some Notre Dame guys out in the 813. So that is going to do it for this show. We will not have a Notre Dame recruiting update next Friday because of my travels. So we will be off next Friday, but we'll have the Wednesday show with myself and Tim Hyde next week. So that'll be our next live show at Blue and Gold. But of course, we'll have some stuff up on the YouTube channel between now and then. So as always, folks, we will catch you guys next time. Enjoy your weekend. Take care.